All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. We're finishing up the series that we started 2 weeks ago. And so we're looking at John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. John 17, 20 through 26. Are any of you guys done? Students? Lisa, no, not you, Lisa. Any of you guys done like Monday or Tuesday? Ah, dead days. So finals start on Wednesday. Oh, okay. All right. Man, it was a weird morning for me today. I got up early. I finished everything early. It was great. I went jogging. And then everything just went downhill. I left home, but then there was this huge traffic for some reason, literally middle of nowhere. And, you know, usually takes me maybe like 3 minutes to get through that area, but I was stuck for a good 20 minutes. And I was getting so frustrated. You know, these Texas drivers who don't know how to drive. And then I finally saw some cop cars, there was an ambulance, fire truck, and I realized it was a huge accident, 5 cars. And then so I had to repent. And it was weird. And then so from a distance, I saw this blue Toyota minivan. And then I was like, wait a minute, we have a blue Toyota minivan, and Susan and the kids went before me. So I was like, oh man, did they get into an accident and all this stuff? But then I drove by and I realized in the inside it was a different color. So, oh, Lord. And then I didn't send Becky my PowerPoint. Jesus. All right, so you guys will have to bear with me since we don't have our PowerPoint today. So you guys will have to use your powers of concentration and hang on every word. All right? All right. You know, we started this series because we wanted to give you some last words of encouragement as well as some last challenges. Because I know that many of you guys will be going home. And I also know that many of you guys will be participating in different things, whether it's summer missions, taking classes. I know that some of you guys will be sticking around. But usually, summer times are pretty much like the dead times. You know, things are really slow. There isn't too much that we have to worry about. Sometimes when we're back home, things get comfortable. Things get too comfortable. And everything that God has invested into our lives, it gets kind of not left behind, but it kind of begins to dissipate. And we see the fruits like shriveling up a little bit. But we want to go against that trend this summer. So whether you're a student or working professional, that we really want the summer to be a summer where we'll be fruitful and that we can continue to engage in the kingdom work. Because, you know, it's my belief that it doesn't really matter how many people are around you. It doesn't really matter whether we gather together like this as a church or in 2 weeks when we move to CHOP when all the students are gone, that it's going to be maybe like 15 or 20 of us. Or maybe when you're back home, you're going to be away from this community and none of your friends are believers, so maybe it's going to be you and maybe another person. Doesn't really matter because God is always at work. So it's not that God isn't at work, but he's at work, but we're just missing out. And so I don't want any of us to miss out on what God is really wanting to do for the next 3 months. And so I really believe that this is going to be really important for us. You know, we've been reading through this prayer of Jesus, that this is the very last prayers that he lifts up. And not only is it a prayer for himself, but it's a prayer for the disciples to encourage them and to give them these last words. And as he's lifting up these prayers, we notice that Jesus is talking about this mission that God has given him, this mission of making God known to others. And so he says, not only have I completed this mission, but what he's doing is that he is imparting this mission now into the lives of the disciples. And that's why later on when Jesus comes back, when he's resurrected, he gives them these words to go and to make disciples of all nations. In other words, what he's saying is carry on the mission that the Father has placed in my life. And so that's the last charge or the last challenge that we want to give to all of us as we make that transition into the summer months. So the last challenge simply is this, to make God known to others. To make God known to others. And so I was thinking about this. How do we make something or someone known to others? I mean, there's various ways for us to do that, right? So I began to do some research, of course, on Google, right? That's the best place to do some research, whether it's a sermon or writing a paper or, you know. And I ran into this really interesting Time magazine article called How to Get Famous in 30 Seconds. And so I was reading through this, and basically what this article was saying was, if you want someone or something to get noticed and to become famous, what you have to do is you have to create a video. But not just a video, but a viral video, right? And so this article talks about this guy named David Bernal. I mean, I never knew who he was. I think I've seen his video, but I didn't make the connection until I read this article. They said he was a senior at Cal State at Long Beach, and he was hired to perform at a Korean-American talent show in L.A., and someone just happened to record his dance on a video and uploaded it onto YouTube and then just went viral. And so this happened around 2001, so a while back, but the article indicates that this is actually one of the first videos that really went viral, right? So it's a quick minute video. I want us to see this performance. Have you guys seen this before? Before Psy and Justin Bieber and all those guys, it was David Bernal, the video viral sensation. I have no idea how he did that. I didn't even know that a human body could collapse in such a way. So I tried it, but I didn't get very far. And so I don't want to do a demonstration on you guys because I want this to be a blessing. But I mean, literally, you know, this 1 minute snippet completely changed his life. Because this is what the article says. That after this video went viral, and I quote, he's living the viral dream. Since that night in 2001, he has danced in commercials like 7-Eleven, Heineken, Pepsi, Apple's iPod, shown his stuff on Jay Leno. He's been on Jimmy Kimmel, did a Volkswagen commercial that reinterprets Gene Kelly's classic singing the dance routine, did a cameo in You Got Served. Do you guys remember You Got Served? Was that like when you guys were in elementary school? All right. You Got Served. The choreographer that supposedly, I guess he saw this video, and he says, wanted me to be in the movie. Bernard says, that's usually how it works. I don't have to do an audition. And even if I do, they just want to see if I can still do what I used to do, right? So literally, this minute clip went viral, and it completely changed his life. That he went from being a nobody to being someone that everyone wanted. And so this article goes on, and at the end, it gives you a little bit of advice in terms of like how you can also become a viral video star, all right? It says things like be yourself, be spontaneous, be authentic, and be genuine. But ultimately, what it states is that there is no formula, all right? It's either hit or you miss. And so when you think about it, making God known, there isn't necessarily a formula for it either. But what Jesus gives us are biblical principles for us to abide by. And so that's what I want us to look at today. These principles that Jesus asks us to strive to live for as we make God known through our lives. Okay, so let's go and read this together. John 17, verses 20 through 26. John 17, verses 20 through 26. And this is what Jesus prays. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." So there are two truths that I want us to focus on from these verses of making God known, okay? And so the first truth that we see in verses 20 through 23 is simply this, that Jesus is interceding on your behalf. That Jesus is interceding on your behalf. In verse 20, Jesus specifically states what? "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." In other words, what he's saying is that I'm not just praying for these 12 disciples, right? Not two, 12. I missed the 10 there. I'm not just praying for these 12, but I'm praying for those who will come after them. In other words, he's praying for us. I mean, just think about that. That Jesus prayed for you before you weren't even born. In fact, Jesus prayed for you before your parents were even born. That Jesus prayed for you before even your grandparents were born. That Jesus knew that you were going to be in existence 2,000 years before you came to be. And not only did he know that you were going to be here, but he actually prayed for you. I think that's such an amazing thought that Jesus knew us. And not only did he know us, but he loved us. And so he prays for us. And so he intercedes on our behalf. In fact, Romans 8:34 states this, "Christ Jesus who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." That Jesus is interceding for you. And I want you to keep that in mind throughout this summer, that Jesus is interceding for you. That when you are being tempted back home, remember that Jesus is interceding for you. That when you experience difficulties in your life, remember that Jesus is interceding for you. That when you feel discouraged, that Jesus is interceding for you. When it's so easy for you to settle for anything less than God's best, remember that it is Jesus who is interceding for you, because he loves you. Something about that just touches my heart. Something about that, I don't know about you, but something about that that just gives me life and energy to realize that this walk that I'm walking on, this life that I'm living, that it's not about me trying harder, but it's about Jesus who is for us, that he's interceding on our behalf. That he knows not only exactly what we're going through, but he's there every step of the way. And my simple encouragement to all of us is make God known in your life, because you know that Jesus is for you, that he is interceding for you. That it's not up to you. That it's not about you trying harder. That it's not about you being a better person. But it's realizing that Jesus is, I know this might sound cheesy, but Jesus is the wind beneath your wings. All right? Are you guys with me? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah? Carla's with me, all right? That Jesus is praying for you. How awesome is that? You know, so many times it's so easy for us to go through our daily life, not connecting with God, not even realizing that God is in that moment. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus isn't saying, oh my gosh, why did you forget about me? I'm so hurt. But Jesus says, that's all right. Because even 2,000 years before you were born, I was praying for you. And even if you fall short over and over and over again, that I will never stop to intercede on your behalf. And that is your strength. And what's even more amazing is not only is Jesus interceding for us, but in verse 22, it tells us that he has given us his glory. That you are glorious beings. That there is God's glory inside of you. So even if you wake up in the morning and the first thing that you see in the mirror, you don't recognize that person because that person looks very different from how you normally look, it's all right. Because it's the glory of God that's shining through. Even in the midst of the crazy hair and the eye boogers, it's the glory of God. And the specific prayer that Jesus prays for us is this. Verses 21 through 22, he says, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. That we may be one, that we may be united. And so my encouragement to all of us is, don't forget that. When we are apart, don't forget that God is the one who has united us together. And so we need to continue to walk in this partnership. That when you are going through, whether it's low times, struggles, that there are other people that you can turn to. And I was just thinking, it'd be so awesome. I know that a bunch of y'all are going to be in Houston. Some of you are going to be up in Dallas, that area. And if you're outside of these two cities, then, you know, there's always like Google Hangout and, you know, that face that you want to see so longingly is only a click away, right? I was thinking how awesome it would be throughout the summer that you guys can actually get together to encourage one another, to edify one another. And not to get together, hey, let's go eat at this restaurant, or hey, let's go and find something to do in Houston because I have no idea what there is to do in Houston. But, you know, hey, let's get together to encourage one another, to continue to invest into each other's lives. Because God has united us together. And not only that, but he goes on, and he says, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That we may remain in the Father. That we are in the Father because the Father is in us. And so when you think about it, that's how we make God known through our lives. It's because the Father is already in us. Make God known because Jesus is interceding on your behalf, that he is for you. Don't forget that. I know that right now you're like, yeah, whatever. But don't forget that, that Jesus is right there, that he is praying and praying and praying. You know, these guys are going to be going on CSMP, and, you know, whenever we go on missions, we have this joke amongst the mission team members. We always see who's the first one who's going to get sick. And then the first person that gets sick, we always ask them, who are your prayer partners? And then I make a mental note, right? And then when I come back, hey, were you praying for that person? They're like, no. No wonder why they got sick, right? Jesus isn't like that prayer partner, all right? Jesus is like your mom. I remember when I was little, my mom would always come into my room before she left for work. And she thought I was sleeping, but I would always be awake and she would lay her hands on me and she would pray for me and she would do this every single morning. And I still remember that my mom was praying for me, that my mom is for me. Jesus is like your mom. And if your mom is not a believer, Jesus is like my mom, all right? She prays for you guys. Jesus is interceding on your behalf. And when Jesus is behind you, even if everything seems like it's falling apart, you know that Jesus is holding your world together. Don't forget that. And not only that, but we want to close with this. 24 through 26, we simply see this, that God's love dwells in you richly. That not only is Jesus interceding for you, but it's God's love that dwells in you. And so the aim of making God known, it's not about being a good and moral person, but it's about the glory of God that is revealed through our lives. It's about the glory of God that is revealed through your lives. I want us to watch this video. It's about, it's an ESPN, I think it's a 3430, is that the right film series? It's on Bo Jackson. Have any of you guys seen this? Do you guys know who Bo Jackson is? The greatest athlete who has ever lived. Played baseball and football at the same time. Man. All right, he played football at Auburn. And that was actually the only year where Auburn beat Alabama. And he won the Heisman Trophy. But anyhow, this is the Auburn athletic director talking about Bo Jackson's legacy. And so I want you guys to watch this video, okay? You know, I love what he was saying about Bo Jackson because I think it rings so true that we are always looking for perfection, right? That's why we long for the day when the Longhorns will somehow rise from the ashes. And maybe have an undefeated season and become a contender once again. We long for that, right? Perfection. We are chasing after perfection. And what he's saying is so true because perfection brings hope of being something more than what we alone think that we might be. And so when you think about that, there is no way that you, in your own ability, will be able to demonstrate that perfection that everyone is longing for through what you do or what you try to accomplish. That it's not about what we do. And that's why no matter how good we are, no matter how hard we strive to live our lives as this example, that it will never be enough. But it is only the glory of God, the perfection of God, that when people are able to see that perfection in our lives, that will begin to change and mold and move them. And that's why Jesus prays that we will see his glory. And that's what he says, that I want them to be with me so that they can see my glory. You know, Jesus isn't this insecure guy who's egotistical and he wants everything to revolve around him. But the reason why he says that he longs for others to see his glory, because it's through his glory that we have hope. That when we see the glory of Jesus, we see the hope of our salvation. And that's what the glory of God is in our lives. It's the hope of salvation for others. And that's why we need to be reminded and that we need to live in this truth that God's love dwells so richly in us. Because when you think about it, how do you demonstrate the glory of God through your lives? How do you do that? Maybe we wear a pink shirt, get a haircut, speak and pray in tongues? How do you do that? You can't. Trick question. Because it's only God who can reveal his glory. But what you can do is you can cling on to God's love. Because as God's love dwells in your life, it is the love of God that will reflect his glory. So how do we make God known to others? You do that by clinging on to the love of God. You do that by realizing that every single day that you have this opportunity to experience God's love more and more and more. And so it's not that there aren't opportunities, but it's that every single day we need to decide that today that I want to dwell in this love. That today that I'm going to make decisions for myself. Today that I'm going to remind myself that the love of God is already in me. And all I need to do is just get out of God's way so that he will continue to demonstrate and reflect his glory through my life. And so that's what Jesus prays for. Jesus prays that God's love will be in us. And not only his love, but ultimately that Jesus himself will be in us. And so to demonstrate the reality of that love, what does Jesus do? He goes to the cross and he dies for our sins. And he rises again, and he sends us in his power. And so I want us to remember that throughout the summer, that you are able to make God known, not because of where you are, not because of what you are able to do, but because of this truth that God's love dwells so richly in you. And all you have to do is get out of God's way and let God demonstrate his glory through your life. And so when you think about, how do I introduce God to this person? Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's your friends, the coworker, whoever it is. How do I make God known to them? It's simple. It's by clinging on to his love and reminding yourself of the power of his love over your life. That Jesus is interceding on your behalf and that God's love dwells richly in you. And so I want to close with this. I was thinking about some examples of so many followers of Jesus who have gone before us and, you know, who were able to participate in this mission that Jesus had for them. And, you know, if you go to my home office and you look at my bookshelf, I mean, literally, I have like book after book after book telling the stories of lives of these missionaries who were able to do incredible things, who were able to make incredible sacrifices and experience incredible joy and demonstrate this incredible power. So I was reading through all these books, trying to get a good example for us, but as I was trying to do that, I think the Holy Spirit reminded me that ultimately it's not really about their lives. Because what we do is we see the lives of those who have gone before us and we put them up in this pedestal and we say, look what they were able to do. But I don't want to talk about their lives because right now what matters is not what they have done, but what we will decide to do and how we will decide to live. Because what their lives are supposed to be is that they're supposed to point us to something. And that's why in Hebrews 12, Hebrews 11, it talks about these men and women of God who were able to live by faith. And in 12, it talks about how we are surrounded by these great clouds of witnesses. And what these clouds of witnesses are supposed to do is that they're supposed to point us to Christ. And when they point us to Christ, what they're supposed to remind us is the simple fact that Christ who lived in their lives is the same Christ who lives in us. That Christ who empowered them to accomplish great things is the same Christ who will empower us. That Christ who was able to move heaven and earth is the same Christ who speaks to us, who says, come on, I have a mission and I have a purpose for you this summer. And all you have to do is simply remember that I'm for you, that I'm praying for you. And all you have to remember is that it's my love that dwells so richly in your life. And so it's not about what you will decide to do, but it's about what I have already decided to do through you. And all you have to be is be willing to go to make known the glory of God. So that's the last charge that I want us to remember. To make God known. To make God known. Okay? Let's pray together. We're going to observe.